Welcome to the Living Faith Missionary Church Podcast. You're about to listen to a message from Pastor Chris Starn, Senior Pastor at Living Faith in Yoder, Indiana. It is our prayer that this message is an encouragement and a blessing to your life.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be back here with you all. Linda and I continue to joke that we actually do know Chris and Beth, that we have seen them, we have eaten with them, we know them. We just never are here when they are here, it seems. I think the last time was at about Easter a year or so ago. But it's always great to be back with you all and to share with you. It's also really God, and I'm hopefully don't embarrass them, but it's great to have friends of ours with us, the Meyer family, that they were instrumental in planting our first church together in Portland, and we're just so glad to be able to see them here as well. And I want to share a little bit about what's going on in Marion, and there's my ugly mug with Garfield, and Garfield is kind of a mascot over in that side of the state, and it is in front of Marion General Hospital. And that's why I have that up on the top. That God has seen fit for my co-vocational work as we're planting the new church to become the chaplain at Marion General Hospital. And so he has given me the opportunity to extend the influence and touch that I'm able to have with the 1,200 or so employees at Marion General Hospital. And it's just been so cool the way God has worked that now, as I go into the hospital every day, I go to a different section of the hospital at shift change, and I'm able to pray with all of the nurses and all of the technicians and the people there. And through the course of a week, I'm able to pray with the whole hospital. And God has just opened doors for that. There are a couple of folks at the hospital that I'm now getting to disciple one-on-one together. And I do a video every week for the hospital itself to be able to share God's word and bring an encouraging word to the hospital, and then to be able to share the steps that we're taking in planting a new church. Now, unfortunately, with COVID, everything got put on hold. We were planning on launching Sunday morning services around Easter this year. And, of course, when everything went on lockdown and on hold, that put us off. So our goal is to launch Sunday morning this fall, early in the fall. And I'd been working with a guy, an old friend of mine named Bill Reese, that I was able to help him do some construction work as he's opening a coffee shop and business in Marion. And he has offered that location to be where we will start the new church services. We've continued to do small groups and continue to do discipleship with people and helping to make disciples to make disciples. But the goal is to be able to start services early this fall. And so prayers that we would ask you to have for us is potentially the largest need that we have physically is if you ever stand beside me when we're singing, you know that I need a worship leader. And yeah, it's okay to laugh there. That means I can't sing. I have no musical ability whatsoever. I can barely play iTunes. And so I need someone there. So I'm asking God. And God has told me that as I have prayed and asked, he said, be surprised at what I'm going to do. And so where I tend to be aggressive and as a former Army officer, I tend to want to go and make things happen. God has told me to be patient and to watch what he's going to do. And so I'm very excited about that and looking forward to exactly what God is going to do there. And the location is a great location that he has given us, and we're just praying to do it correctly with all of the COVID things going on. Right now I am also doing videos on Facebook and YouTube that are kind of precursors, talking about what the church is going to be like and giving some biblical teaching on the vision and values for it. You can find that on my Facebook page or whatever you call it, profile, Jeffrey Allen Horseman, or on YouTube at Imago Dei Marian. And so you could check that out if you like. I was excited when Chris asked me to come and share with you all, and I know that he usually is involved in a series. And so I always ask, should I be involved with that, or do you want me to do something, whatever God lays on my heart? And that's usually what he says. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about something that does hit all of us, and it's temptation. Temptation. And Oscar Wilde said, I can resist anything but temptation. And that kind of sounds funny, but it's kind of true. The things that we are able to resist are things we're really not tempted by. But sometimes it is hard for us to resist the things that do tempt us. So with that in mind, I had a couple of slides I just wanted to share with you about that. The first one is the dog with the plate of bacon. Now, temptation, resistance is futile. I don't think it needs to be a dog looking at a plate full of bacon. This could be my face sitting there at the edge of the couch looking at this plate of bacon saying, I cannot resist that. We joke at my house when we cook bacon, we have to cook 2 pounds of bacon because I eat a pound of it before it ever makes it off onto a plate. Just love bacon and am so tempted by it. And so I have a second one here. And now I don't really watch Family Guy, but this is Peter Griffith. And he says, do not push button. Now, come on. If you have something on the wall that says, do not push, what are you going to go do? We're going to go push the button and see what happens. I like the little subtitle. It says, do you really want to spend the rest of your life wondering? You know, that's, people are going to be tempted to push that button. And this third one really is for me also. I am so tempted. And for those who've ever watched Knight Rider, I would watch that show growing up, and I so wanted to take a car and drive it onto the back of a semi, and they could close it up and then drive out of it again. I thought that would just be the coolest thing, such a temptation for me. And if I'm driving down the road and see this, I'm like, do you think we could? And of course, my wife, who is always the voice of reason in our household, says, no. But what a temptation. Now, some of these things might not be temptations for some of you at all. You might think, I would not be tempted at all by some of those. But there are things that tempt all of us. And given the season that we're in, there are temptations to react very emotionally to different things that are going on. There's temptation to react emotionally about the whole COVID-19, to mask or not to mask, and all the things that go on that, or with the BLM movement, and or the election, or any of another dozen hot topics that we have going on right now. And people are tempted to go even further than just speak emotionally about it. A lot of people are tempted to do really stupid stuff today about these issues. And they're tempted whichever side of the issue they're on because they're passionate about it. And it means a lot to them and they have energy behind it. And so they are tempted to do things. The passion makes it harder to resist temptation. And when we think about tackling temptations in our lives, it's good for us to have an example on how to tackle temptations, how to do that effectively. And since we're the church, since we're Christians, it is right for us to look at Jesus as our example. Because we know that Christian actually means miniature Christ or an imitator of Christ. So he really is our example in how to tackle temptation. So I wanted to share with you the story of Jesus tackling temptation from Luke 4, verse 1 through 13. And it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt a foot on the stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity. We've got an amazing account here in Scripture of Jesus being tempted. And Luke shows us that Jesus was tempted just like any of us are tempted, except that he never sinned when he was tempted. And Jesus was able to tackle each of these temptations. And so I want to point out some specific points surrounding the temptation of Jesus, how he was tempted, and look at how he was able to tackle the temptations. So the first thing I'd like to do is point out the situation surrounding the temptations of Jesus. And by looking at what Jesus went through when he was tempted, I think we can learn some things about how that we can apply to our lives when we are tempted so that we also can tackle temptation. And the first thing I think we need to realize in this scripture is that Jesus was coming off a spiritual high when he was tempted. Things had been going good. He was coming off a spiritual high. He was just beginning his earthly ministry. He had gone to meet with John the Baptist. And John was preaching repentance of sin and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And when John saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. In essence, he was saying to all his followers, this is the guy I've been telling you about. The guy who I said, I'm not even worthy to lace up his sandals. This is the guy. This is the Messiah. And then John baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the scripture says the Spirit of God descended like a dove and settled on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Now, I know he was Jesus and all, but come on. If you're doing something and you hear the voice of God saying, I am well pleased with you, you are on a spiritual high. You are saying, yes, I'm doing it right. God is pleased. Everything is great. This is awesome. And you know what? When we think everything is great, we can be in danger of letting our guard down. When we're on top of the world, we think nothing could possibly go wrong. God is pleased with us. All is good. He might even say, I just got baptized. I am invincible. This is fantastic. But Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. As you see, when we think we're all that, and we think that we're doing great, people often try to knock us off our pedestal. They'll try to knock us down a notch. And you know what? Satan is no different than that at all. He will come along right after that mountaintop experience to knock you down and to make you feel like you're worthless for not being able to tackle the temptation that he has thrown at you. Jesus was coming off a spiritual high when he was tempted. Now, we also see that Jesus was alone. Now, it is good to get away and be alone from time to time for prayer and to be able to recharge, but when we are lonely, we are more susceptible to temptation. When we have a friend who is with us, we can stand up to temptation and the pull is less strong. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. When we're alone, we get fooled into thinking no one is watching us and that we could get away with doing what we want. We lose that healthy fear of being caught. And that little voice of Satan speaks to us and says things like, it'll be okay. No one's watching. You won't get caught. You deserve it anyway. So-and-so does stuff, so you should be able to also. It's not a big deal. Temptation hits us hardest when we're lonely. But when we have a partner, it's easier to tackle temptation. And I think the third thing that we can see is that Jesus was hungry when he was tempted. Friends, when we are hungry, tired, or discouraged, we are more prone to temptation. Physically, our resources are depleted. Emotionally, we feel like we're running on empty. And it's at those times that the temptations seem to hit us harder. We really must be more aware of the attack of the evil one during these times. We must look at temptation and look out for temptation even more diligently when we are physically and emotionally running on empty. When we are aware of those things, it becomes easier to tackle temptation. Now, next, I think it is very important for us to recognize how Jesus was tempted, to see the specific ways, the specific areas that Jesus was tempted in. And when we see those areas, I think we can recognize those areas in our own lives and be better prepared to tackle the temptations. So the first that we see is that Jesus was tempted in his appetites. He was tempted in his appetites. And he was hungry, so Satan tempted him to turn rock into bread. Now, getting something to eat really was not the temptation. The temptation was to focus on his desire and to place it above God's purpose. Often when we think about being tempted by stuff, the first thing we think of is being tempted by food, like the plate of bacon that I showed up there. Always a temptation for me. But food is not our only appetite. The dictionary defines appetite as a physical desire or a strong wish or urge. An appetite is really something we want, something that we desire to have. It can be physical, like food or sex or something that makes us feel good, or it can be something that we just really want to have, like a new car or a vacation or a nice home. Again, these things can be good in and of themselves when regarded in the right way. But when they become more important, when the desire for these things become more important than God is in our life or what God desires, they become a problem. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 39, "My Father, not what I want, but what you want." We can be tempted when we let our appetites have first place in our life. Second, we see that Jesus was tempted with power and position. He was tempted with power and position. Satan told Jesus that he had the authority to give Jesus the glory of all the kingdoms and authority over all of them. He told Jesus that if he would just worship Satan, that he could give him all the power and position that he could ever want. He would be able to rule over all the earth without having to go to the cross. Friends, we're often tempted with power and position too. And it might not look like that, but it's sometimes we just want to be in charge. We want to be in control of what is happening. Sometimes that happens at work. Sometimes it just happens in our homes. But really, we're tempted to be in control and to be in charge of things. And sometimes it's not even about just being in charge. Sometimes it's about being respected or being recognized. We want people to think we're great. And we want people to see the great job that we're doing. We want to receive honor for what we do. We really want to be given the credit. And again, don't mistake me, being a leader is not evil. Being recognized for the hard work you do is not evil. But when that is what we desire to have, and we'll do anything to get that, we become tempted by power and position, maybe even prestige, and we put that above God. Remember that in this scripture, Satan is tempting Jesus with power and authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. God gives Jesus that authority after he went to the cross. Jesus was being tempted to do that before going to the cross. He was being tempted to have power be the goal instead of doing the will of the Father. Our temptation is to run after power or position without regard for what God is directing us to do. And finally, I believe that Jesus was tempted with religion above relationship. He was tempted to be religious in following what the scripture said to him rather than being in a relationship with God the Father. You see, Satan is crafty. He quoted scripture to Jesus. Imagine that, tempting Jesus with scripture. And he says, you know, you can throw yourself off the highest spire of the temple. Scripture says God's not going to let you get hurt. He's not going to let even your foot be injured by the stone. You see, he was tempting Jesus to be focused on religion rather than being in a relationship with God. I have a friend who was visiting to travel a missionary. And in order to get to see his friend who was a missionary, he had to travel up the river by boat. And as he was traveling by this boat, he was talking with the captain of the boat. And the captain was really wanting to test his faith or challenge him. And he said, you know, I've read your Bible. And I've heard about Peter walking on the water. So if your God is real, you should be able to get out of my boat and walk on the water beside my boat. And I think my friend had an amazing response. I don't know that I would have come up with it, but I think it was the right response also. He said to the captain of the boat, if God told me to get out of your boat and walk on the water, I would get out of the boat and walk on the water. But since you are telling me to get out of the boat and walk on the water, I think I'll just stay in the boat. You see, he was focused on his relationship with God and not the challenge to be religious. And we can be tempted to be religious and fail to continue in our relationship with God. You see, I think our Jewish brothers have done that as well when they were more focused on being the chosen people than being followers of God. And we can be tempted at times to think, since I'm a Christian, nothing bad should happen to me. I mean, if we have faith, life will all be sunshine and rainbows, right? And then we have to deal with COVID or cancer or something else, some other illness comes up, and then we start to blame God for our troubles. Or worse, we see a brother or sister who is struggling, and we think, and heaven forbid, we might even say to them, if you only had more faith, you would not be having these problems. Friends, I want to be real clear. Jesus did not say we would not have trouble. Quite the contrary. He says in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, the relationship with Jesus is what is important. He is the one who has overcome the world, and we must be in tune with him. At times, we can be tempted to focus on our religion and hope that our religion protects us from troubles. Rather, we need to be in relationship with Jesus and count on our Savior. So, we see that Jesus was tempted with appetites, with power, with religiosity. And we can recognize that we all can be tempted in the same way. So our question is, what do we do about it? How do we tackle the temptation? So friends, I think we can tackle the temptation the same way Jesus tackled temptation. I believe we can see two main things that Jesus did in this scripture that we can apply to our lives in order to tackle temptation. And the first thing that we need to tackle temptation is the truth of Scripture. We need the truth of Scripture. Each time Satan hit Jesus with temptation, Jesus reached out with the truth of Scripture. When he was hit with the temptation in his appetites, Jesus tackled the temptation with Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. When he was hit with the temptation of power, Jesus tackled that temptation with Deuteronomy 6:13. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only. When he was hit with the temptation of religiosity, Jesus tackled that temptation with Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did in Massa. Jesus tackled each temptation with the truth of Scripture. Now, friends, for us really to tackle temptation with the truth of Scripture, we've got to know Scripture. You've got to know Scripture. You are not able to call upon Scripture in your time of need unless you are already familiar with Scripture. That's another reason why we need to be in daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading is not to be some slavish religious chore that we do. It's engaging with God's Word and using it as the key thing that helps us to grow in our faith. It's so important for us. King David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to hide God's word in our heart in order for us to tackle temptation in our life. I love the way Robbie Gallaty says it. He says, get into God's word so God's word gets into you. We need to know Scripture in order to tackle temptation. Now, the second thing we need to do is we need to apply Scripture to tackle temptation. Friends, you can know all the Scripture in the world, but if it does not affect your daily life, it's doing you no good. If you do not apply God's word, it's useless to you. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Very simple. Apply God's word that you read to your daily life. During his temptation, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He then applied that to his situation. He didn't focus on his hunger and the stones that were laying there and wishing they might be bread. Instead, he focused on God's word and let it strengthen him. He relied on the truth of Scripture and applied it to his life. We need to know God's word and we need to apply it to our daily lives. Then we'll be better prepared to tackle temptations. And then to tackle temptation, we must trust God above all else. In tackling temptation, Jesus trusted God the Father above all else. He declared the need to worship God alone, to serve God alone, and he trusted him so much that he didn't need to prove God in any situation. Really, that's the key to tackling temptation. We need to turn to God and trust him in each and every situation. When we're dealing with our appetites, we need to ask, is my desire more important than my relationship with God? In dealing with control, we need to ask the question, am I in control or do I trust God and give him the control? In dealing with religiosity, we need to ask, am I thinking about the rules or am I thinking about my relationship with God? In each situation, we need to put God first and trust in him above all else in order to tackle temptation. Now, temptation is something that we all deal with. Tackling temptations is something we all need to do. And we recognize that no temptation comes from God. James assures us of this, and he says that never does God tempt us, but it's our own desire and things that hit us in our heart. And when you're tempted, we also need to realize that it's nothing new to anybody. Everyone deals with temptations in their life. Even Jesus dealt with temptation. And to tackle temptation, we need to know God's word, have it be regular and familiar in our lives. We need to apply God's word to our daily life. And then we need to place our trust in God alone. Any other voice is trying to lead us astray. One last thing I want to share with you before we close. Satan is never done tempting us. We are never through with the temptations that come in our life. Luke says that when the devil finished tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he left him until the next opportunity came. Jesus continued to deal with temptation from Satan throughout his earthly ministry. Satan is always looking for the next opportunity. He will attack us again and again. Usually, when we're tired, hungry, and lonely. I love what Franklin Graham, in seeking how to deal with temptation, he went to his father Billy. And he was dealing with sexual temptation. And he came to Billy and he said, "Dad, when does sexual temptation leave a man? When am I no longer going to have to deal with this appetite?" And Billy paused for a moment. And he wisely said, "We'll have to go ask Grandpa." And so they went together to ask Billy Graham's dad, William Franklin Graham Sr. And he said, "Grandpa, when does sexual temptation leave a man?" And Grandpa was 80 years old. And he paused for a moment and he said, "Sometime after 80. The truth of that is that Satan will continue to bring temptation to us. At whatever stage of life we are in, temptations will continue to come. And we need to be prepared to tackle temptation. And our example is Jesus Christ, who he faced temptation by knowing Scripture, applying it to his daily life, and placing his trust in God above all else. And that's what we need to do. Know your Bible. Get into God's Word on a daily basis. Be so familiar with God's Word that when a situation comes up, Scripture comes into your mind. And don't only know God's Word, apply it to your daily life. Seek out ways that you can put Scripture in what you do daily. And then hold on to your relationship with Jesus above all else. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you. Lord, it is a joy to be able to worship, to be able to come together with your people, called together by your name, and to praise you. And Lord, we understand in the times that we're in, there are lots of things that could tempt us. We could be tempted by the appetites that we have talked about. We can be tempted to get upset about things as others get upset about them. But Lord, we know we need to trust in you above all else. We need to know your word and apply it to our life on a daily basis. So Lord, help us be grounded in our faith with you. Help us follow the example of our Lord and Savior. Help us to tackle each temptation as they come and encourage one another as we do that. So Lord, we thank you that you are God. We trust in you and you alone. We worship you and you alone. And we serve you and you alone. I thank you for each person here, Lord, and we just ask for your blessing to be upon each one and their families. And we ask that you send us out with your grace that we might serve you and let the world know that you indeed are Lord and Savior. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Great to see you today. And whether you do a high five or an elbow bump or whatever, greet each other in the name of the Lord. And God bless you guys today.